You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sanz, your host for Focus on Campus. Joining us today is Dr. Adriana Dominguez. Dr. Dominguez is no stranger to KTUP and Focus on Campus. She's a clinical professor and director of audience development. And gosh, if you haven't gone to the store yet, then you've seen that all the Halloween candy is on sale, but they're also putting up already something else, and that's what we're going to talk about. Adriana, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So it's that time of year again.
Indeed. It's already, as we were just saying, it's already around the corner. It is the holiday season already.
So A Christmas Carol is, it's like if CBS never showed Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, never showed Frosty the Snowman, A Christmas Story, all those shows. So A Christmas Carol is something of a tradition. And what kind of challenges do you face with something like this, because people might say, well, it's the same story. I've been there before. But, you know, people like myself, it doesn't matter because it's a great story. So what do you do?
Sure. So for A Christmas Carol, we've been doing it for about 10 years now. And even though it's the same story at heart, you know, we definitely have Scrooge going through his journey and finding the goodness in himself and sharing that with others. Every year it is different. And we've tried to do a couple of different things just because artistically we'd like to do different things and we'd like to be challenged. So, for example, last year we tried to do it was a combination of dance and theater. So we had Humbug and Sugar Plum. So it was like a jazz nutcracker and a Christmas Carol. Very popular, but it was intense in terms of the amount of work that had to be put into it because it was putting up two shows a night. And that was really intense. So we decided we can't do that again. Let's scale it back a little bit. So this year, we're just doing A Christmas Carol, which is the Scrooge story, and it's about 90 minutes, very much geared towards young audiences and for families. We know it's a very busy time. Committing, you know, 2 or 2.5 hours is pretty tough. So it's 90 minutes. It's going to be spectacular and amazing. So yeah, there is that challenge that, yeah, it's the same story. Everyone knows how it's going to end up, but it's still going to take everyone through that magical journey of someone finding goodness. And I think that's just fantastic. And I love that we do that every year.
Something that you mentioned, the fact that it's open to children and everything. It's and even though you have the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas future, everything, it's not scary to children because it's something that's very entertaining and it's telling them a very heartwarming story about giving, about forgiving, about repenting, and, you know, the kindness that Tiny Tim has and his daddy.
Most definitely. With the Ghost of Christmas Past and the Ghost of Christmas Present, I mean, they're big characters and they're pretty spectacular. Those are not scary. Definitely Marley, who comes to visit Scrooge first, and Christmas Future, which is kind of gloom and doom, are a little bit intense. We've had some little ones there who are kind of wowed and maybe overwhelmed by the spectacle, which tells us we did a good job. You know that what we are presenting live in front of them is just as good as what they can see on TV. So it makes our tech people feel pretty cool when people are like, you know, their breath is taken away because they see the spectacular thing being done in front of them, right? And that a million things can go wrong and they don't. And so, yeah, I would say those two characters, Marley and Future, are a little bit, you know, overwhelming because they should be, right? Those are the ones that kind of scare Scrooge straight. But otherwise, it's completely, you know, family friendly. But it's the spectacle, I think, that really wraps everyone up.
Tell us a little bit about, because you mentioned that before you had done a little bit of a combination of the Nutcracker and this. So tell us a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes.
For sure. So we're already in the process. So we just closed a show and we're in for another one. We are nonstop at the Department of Theater and Dance. And so the entire rehearsal process is going to be about 7-ish weeks. We do have children in the show. So we've definitely had to take that into consideration that rehearsals can't go that long. They got to go home and go to sleep. And so we've had to, you know, monitor that and make sure that works out. But even before that, even before we even had auditions for Christmas Carol, we already were having meetings about, you know, what we were going to do in terms of set, which is already in place, right? Because we do Christmas Carol every year, but we like to update it, add some more moments to it in terms of costume, you know, even though we hope that some of the costumes might fit people the next year, that doesn't mean it's going to be true. You may have someone a completely different size, or the director may have a completely different concept in terms of the way he wants to go. And so all of that started months ago. And so, as you mentioned, and I'm glad you say that, because I want people to appreciate the collective of thousands of hours that are put into this, you know, whether it's people making costumes, painting the stage, people like myself who are putting up posters, going out to places, telling people about the show. And so there's a variety of elements that have to be put into it because, yeah, it's going to be 90 minutes of spectacular fun, but it took thousands of hours to get there.
Well, tell us about, because you mentioned you don't know what the director might want. Tell us about the director, his or her job, and who's directing this show.
Sure. So this year we have Greg Beam, who's an adjunct professor with us. He teaches acting classes with us, but he also teaches film classes at EPCC. And so he's awesome and amazing. We're really lucky that he's going to be working on this project. And I think it's fantastic to give a lot of our students who may not have that much stage experience to do A Christmas Carol, because everyone knows the story. And Greg is really skilled at working with actors, both that have experience, that don't have experience. So I know I'm personally really excited to see what he's going to do with all those people on stage. And it's a big cast. I mean, we have like 20 people in the show. Then you look at all the other people, you know, designers, technicians. So you're looking at a powerhouse of 40 people that he has to kind of work with, collaborate with, and make sure that at the end, it's going to be, you know, the fantastic final product that we're all expecting.
When people who have read Charles Dickens' classic, they have already kind of an impression of what, you know, Crutcher looks like, what Scrooge looks like. So what are you looking for as far as, you know, the actor who is trying out for this particular part? Would it do them good to read or watch other versions of Christmas Carol, or are you looking more as... can they be a little bit more of themselves?
I think in terms of acting, and everyone has their own process, but I think my philosophy is you are the best you, right? No one can be a better you than you are. And so it's putting yourself in that situation. So definitely the guy that we have playing Scrooge, John Robledo, is awesome. He's done Christmas Carol in a variety of roles. He was Cratchit one year. He's been different characters. And this year he's Scrooge. I know he's really excited about that, to have that title role. And he's really flexible. And I think that's really important, because yes, definitely everyone's going to have an idea, like, this is what Scrooge should be like. And of course we definitely want, you know, an older, you know, a man who doesn't want to share, but we definitely want to see that arc, right, of a character with change. And so that actor has to be flexible to make that believable, not that it just happens, oh, one split second and we believe it, that something happens along the way to transform somebody. And so Greg, as I had mentioned, who teaches acting classes, I think he's going to be extremely skilled in leading the actors to get to that point. And as I mentioned, we have that mix. We have some actors that have done Christmas Carol many times. And for some, I was just looking through all of their bios right now. We're putting together the program. And for some of them, it's their first time. So I think it's going to be a wonderful way for them to learn and experience the art of theater, you know, in the madness of A Christmas Carol.
Tell us about the children actors.
Sure. So we have several children, obviously, because we need Tiny Tim. We need all the little children in terms of the family. We also have other characters that come along with, like, the Ghost of Christmas Present, like Want and Ignorance. So we have a couple of actors that have done it before, some children of the faculty as well, because they're skilled. They know the process. They're in it as well. And we're really lucky that these kiddos want to dedicate their time to being in the art. And it is a lot of dedication. And, you know, it requires their parents to bring them here to rehearsal after school, being here for a couple of hours. And again, we do, you know, tailor our rehearsal schedule to the children, but it's several hours. And then in terms of performances, we have 4 public performances, but then we have 10 performances for schools. And so we're going to be doing 5 days, 2 shows a day, which are going to be pretty intense, but that's going to require a lot of stamina from all of our cast and crew. And we're really grateful that the kiddos are willing to do that and their parents are willing to work with us.
How difficult was it to find somebody to play the role of Charles Dickens?
So we kind of have altered it a little bit. It's more of a streamlined story, not as much narration. We found a little bit more success with that, just especially as it's tailored towards the young ones. It's easier just to follow. Definitely the combo of actors that we have, it's just going to be amazing. And Greg, you know, every little piece is getting put into place. And so every time we meet again, we're like, oh, this is done, or they've reached this point. And so, again, even though I've seen this many, many times, it's always exciting to see, you know, someone's artistic vision come to life with our students. And that's, I mean, that's, again, that's why I do what I do.
And sometimes when reading James Stewart's biography, I remember him saying that, you know, they would go to rehearsals for a film, whatever, and then do it. And then he'd say, no, I just saw something that I think I need to change, and I'm going to do it differently. So I'm sure that you see that as you practice and rehearse every night. You're going, hey, maybe let's change this a little bit, or can you move over to the left a bit? Because that matters as well, too, where you stand, how
most
you project,
definitely.
Et cetera.
Most definitely. And then, you know, after a while, then everything does have to be set. You know, that director, Greg, has a limited amount of time. He needs to get it to a point, because once we're in tech week, right, where we're finally putting in all the elements of, you know, costume and lights and sound and set, everything has to be a well-oiled machine. Just because it's a very large show, we have lots of special effects. And so some people, if you need to be standing 2 feet from the edge, you have to be standing 2 feet from the edge because something is going to be moving behind you. And so he only has a limited amount of time to get it all set. And then it cannot be changed after that point, just because so many technical elements are going to depend, you know, on kind of the synchronization of everything that happens.
Tell us about the technical, because sure. That makes a big difference.
Right. I mean, as we know, the story goes from, you know, past to future to present to location. You know, they go from a dance party here when we're talking about the Fezziwigs, and then we go, you know, to his, you know, Scrooge being a young boy, then we go to his gravesite. I mean, so there are so many things happening, and all of it happens in front of you. We don't have scene breaks where we're going to take 2 minutes in between to reset something up. So a lot of things are on wheels or on casters. So things, you know, come in and out. Everything is going to be very well timed because, again, we want it to be a short show because it is tailored for young people. But again, everything has to happen live in front of the audience and it needs to look really polished. And we've been very lucky. We do that every year, but that takes rehearsal in itself, just practicing all of the scene changes and how that's going to happen without, you know, any chaos.
I was just thinking about music. Tell us a little bit about the role that music plays in this play.
Sure. I mean, as you mentioned, it creates an ambiance. You know, we all automatically, whenever we go to a show, even to the movies, music automatically gives us an indication of the mood, right? If it's going to be something light or if it's going to be something heavy. And we definitely are going to have that happen. You know, the pre-show music is hopefully going to get us into the proper mood. There'll definitely be highlights of music within that. We have some singing, you know, some caroling going on within the piece because obviously it is a holiday piece. And then, of course, at the end, because we want people to leave in that holiday spirit. So no, music is a fantastic way to immediately connect with the audience before anything has happened.
Tell us about we haven't talked about the performance date.
Yes. So we have only 4 public performances. So these are December 9th and 15th at 7:30 and December 10th and 17th at 2:30. So it is limited. We have a variety of ticket prices. It's $14 for adults. Then we have a $12 ticket price for military, seniors, non-UTEP students, UTEP alumni members with their card, groups of 10 or more. And then it's $9 for UTEP students with their ID, and then also $9 for children between the ages of 4 and 12. So there's lots of discounts available for everyone to come see the show.
And you mentioned earlier about the school performances. Those are when they bring the buses in?
Yes, and those are during the day. So those are going to be the 13th, 14th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we have them at 9:30 and at 12. So they're back-to-back, and most of those are filling up pretty quickly. And it is offered at a discount because the kids are coming in as a field trip. We provide them with a study guide, all that good stuff. So it's a really fun time to bring those kiddos in.
Adriana, thank you so much for being with us here today and again for bringing the Christmas cheer in a little bit earlier.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
We've been visiting with Dr. Adriana Dominguez. She is a clinical professor and director of audience development with the Department of Theater and Dance. And we're talking about A Christmas Carol, which opens up December 9th at the Weiss Theater.
Weiss
Family Theater. That's December 9th and then December 15th. Those are going to be the 2 evening performances. And then what were the afternoon performances?
The 10th and the 17th. Our 2 Sunday performances.
Thank you so much for being with us here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Jesse Munoz. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.